Welcome, everyone. This is Elaine. It is Thursday, September 26, 2019. It is Thursday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're on a PSS call. So let's start with celebrations. Who wants to, or check-ins, who wants to get us going? And tell us what's been going on this week that feels good or worthy of celebrating.
This is Anne. I can start.
Go for it. Thank you.
So we are at the very end of our first 6 weeks of school, and my son is failing a couple classes, but I'm not freaking out about it yet.
Good for you.
And it's been really rough. He feels the stress. I feel the intention, the good intentions, but I feel the stress, and he's had more emotional outbursts in the past week than he's had in months. And I can just tell, I can feel. And so I think this morning when I'm waking up thinking, okay, what do I have to celebrate about this time that sucks? Is that, you know what? I woke up this morning thinking it's not the end of the world. He's going to be fine. He's going to grow up and be an adult, you know, a good adult. And it's just a bump in the road. And I just didn't wake up panicking about it this morning like
way to go.
Maybe in the past I would have done. So that's my celebration is, yeah, it's really rough and it really sucks, but I'm not panicking about it.
That is amazing, and that's a huge – and remind me how old he is.
He'll be 13 next month.
Okay, so is he in high school or not yet?
No, he's in seventh grade, middle school.
Perfect. Yeah, you got time.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, if you're going to fail, wouldn't you rather him fail now than in ninth grade? I mean, really,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So, way to go. Congratulations. Self-management. Rules number 1, 2, and 3 is manage yourself, right?
Thank you.
Awesome. Who else? What do you want to celebrate?
This is Holly. I think Brent and I were lamenting over some issues with our daughter, our younger one, today, but I think we were celebrating that our son has shown some maturity in the past few years, and it's kind of hard to see when you're in the thick of it, but I think that would be our celebration today, is that at least, you know, we've come so far with him, and maybe there's hope for the younger one.
So your son's maturity is showing.
Yes.
Great.
We're choosing to see it, you know.
Right. And are you sharing that with him? Or are you acknowledging him for it?
Yeah, I think we have. We probably need to do a better job of it, but yeah.
Okay.
It's coming out.
Right. Yeah. Just, you know, we tend to see the good things in our kids and we forget to tell them and acknowledge them and help them see it for themselves. So just a reminder that there's a huge value in that. And the language I would encourage you is not to say I'm proud of you, but to remember to lead with, I bet you're really proud of yourself.
Okay. Good.
Because what's really important is not what we think, but that they begin to see a value in feeling good about their accomplishments.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Brent, anything you want to add?
No, I think that's it. I'm sorry. I am in the truck. I'm the one making all the noise. So.
No, I figured
it was.
That's all good. Okay. Julie, what about you? What do you want to share?
So we had a really stressful week last week, and there were some moments where I forgot my tools and some, like, missing papers or things not done. This was even with all my kids, not just my one with ADHD, and I got caught in some old patterns of tightening up and not talking with a nice tone as loving as I wanted, And I was able to turn it around eventually and kind of come back to that love and, like, I'm right, we're in this together with all of them. And I hate when I'm not there, but I love when I can find it again. And I feel like each time I find it again, it reinforces it and I get better and it feels stronger, more strongly ingrained each time. being the way I want to be with them. So.
And what I would also offer is that when you are the way you want to be with them, each time you come back to it, they notice. Right? Like they kids will see and feel the shift.
Yes, well, so, for sure, because it's so different.
So
but that's we all.
But that's
yeah,
but
it's
still
for
important
all of us
because they know you're trying, right? And they know you're making an effort. And you can be crazy mom and just be crazy mom, but you can be crazy mom that comes back and goes, whew, okay, sorry, I got it together now. And then there's so much that they get from that.
Right. I'm not sure I acknowledged it, so that might have been a place, you know, I could have maybe. So when I
okay, so
it.
Maybe there's place to acknowledge it more, but just by coming back and reconnecting, you reconnect it, right? And that's,
yeah,
that's
well,
what they're
right,
getting.
The next time. The next, yeah. Like, it might have been the next day, but I didn't continue down that path. So, yeah.
Great. Awesome. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, and I want to celebrate. I know I don't always celebrate, but I want to celebrate that. So I have a kid at college for the first time, and he's really happy, and he's doing great in so many ways. And we had that first episode of texting, no answer, texting, no answer, texting, no answer. And, you know, this morning started again. I'm like, okay, what, you know, where are you? And there was something we needed him to take care of that was, I had to submit something on campus kind of thing. So we really needed to reach him. And to his credit, he owned it. He said, I'm really sorry. When he finally did text back, he was like, I'm really sorry. I missed that and got it taken care of. And I've got to, you know, he handled it. He owned it and handled it. So that's my celebration is we will have the conversation later about responding to our texts. One thing at a time, which is a great segue to our conversation today. So somebody else has joined us. Julie, hey, welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Let's do a little taking aim this week. Who wants to take aim? Or Julie, do you want to celebrate real quick?
No, I can't think of anything, but I've been thinking about something I want to take aim on. So can I just start there?
You can start there.
Okay. Actually, I will celebrate last night. I co-lead a Chad ADHD support group, and
yay,
it was a great meeting last night. Yeah, we just had a really nice, good conversation around the table, and it just was a good meeting. So I'll celebrate that.
Awesome.
Yeah. So,
and keep in mind, if you ever want us to send you materials for your group, we can do that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. I want to take aim on my 13-year-old daughter. I don't know if she has a short fuse, but she's very sensitive about things and takes things personally very quickly. And part of me wonders if it's just a teenage thing, you know, a 13-year-old thing, girl thing, hormone thing, or if there's but it's something I'd like to work on. I'd like to be able to have an open conversation and say, hey, you know, you got really snippy with me there or some other word, and I just want to have a conversation. I'm just trying to explain something to you.
So here's what I'll offer is what you're really looking is to design around her frustration.
Okay.
And we'll talk more about it. We'll come back to it. But just write down sort of there's an article on the website called Relationships by Design.
Okay.
And that's the skill that you're looking to have the conversation with her around.
Okay.
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 But what I hear is what you want is to be able to, how do we have conversations when she's triggered or upset or short-tempered?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, and it seems like almost any conversation that's not easy, just even the slightest, you know, you've got to do your homework. It's almost like she just quickly shuts down or gets defensive. She ramps up very quickly.
So. Right. Right. Great.
Okay.
Okay. Who else? What do we take a name on?
This is the other Julie. I just want to jump in because I want the same thing.
So it's about having difficult conversations.
And staying in relationships. The relationship piece. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm having the same thing because it's just I don't know how to take the next step.
Okay.
Seems like it's an explosion, the next step. So.
Awesome. Okay. It's really fun when we're all on the same thing. This is going to be easy. So if anybody's got paper in front of you, the strategies I want to make sure we cover are Design Alliance, ACE, and Code Words. Okay, so we'll come back to that, but I just want to throw those out before I forget them. Brent, do you want me to be checking in with you, or do you want Anne to speak for you today? Holly to speak for you, I'm sorry.
Holly, yeah.
I was going to say, I've never met Anne. That would just be weird. But
yeah, that would be weird.
Now, I'm almost to a place where I'm going to get out of the truck, but I'll let Holly talk, and then I'll join in as soon as I get parked.
Okay. Perfect. All right. So, Holly, what do you want to take aim on today?
I've got to narrow it down. Maybe I'll just jump on the bandwagon about the conversations as well, because that's definitely an area that we could use help with.
Well, and you did start off saying that your daughter is kind of making a little nuts, so.
Yeah, we had a really rough morning this morning.
You want to get more specific for her? Is it conversations, or what's the trigger? What's going on there? Remember, what's the change you want to see?
Yeah, we're still having trouble with her being, her taking ownership of the things that she needs to do. Unless we follow up on her, like, she'll try to get away with, you know, not doing something, and then when we call her on it and tell her, you know, well, okay, with the consequences, you're going to have to go back and do this tonight. Well, I don't care. You know, and I know she does, but she's saying that as a defense mechanism. So I don't know if it's owning up or if it's being truthful or what. I don't know.
So I'm not clear what the change is that you're looking for.
I don't know. We want her to follow through with what we ask her to do, and not. I feel like she'll just say, "Yeah, okay, in a minute," and then it never happens. And if we forget about it, and part of it's us not following through or following up, but it to have to stay on her about every single little thing until it's done.
Is there one area in particular that this happens a lot?
Cleaning a room or just doing chores in general.
Could you choose a specific one? So I will offer that cleaning a room is kind of like tackling mornings is too big.
Yeah, it is big.
Mm-hmm. It's too much. But so can you narrow down to one area, one place to take aim?
I guess I'm
clothing all over the floor.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So
great.
Taking care of her clothes. Yeah. That would be.
Well, so taking care of her clothes is really general. Picking clothes up off the floor is very specific.
Okay.
Right. So what Brent's saying is clothing off the floor. Right.
Okay.
And that's way more. That's a lot easier to work with than taking care of your clothes. Because taking care of your clothes could mean 20 different things, right?
Right.
So, and that is a great segue, thank you very much, for today's topic, which is about taking aim, right? So we're still near the beginning of we're starting over in the modules, in the model. And so today we're going to really talk about the first step in the model for tackling any challenging situation that you face with your kids. And that first step is taking aim. And we have this tendency to take aim very broadly on mornings or cleaning the room, thank you for that example, or, you know, things that are kind of broad and general, because we kind of know what we mean when we say clean your room, but the more general we are, the less specific we are, the less clear it is for them to know what we're asking them to do very specifically, first of all. And second of all, the harder it is for them to know, or for us to know, that they've achieved it. So part of the reason for taking aim really narrowly is to help them begin to learn, you know, to tackle skills and to change behaviors. And part of it is to set them up for success and to set ourselves up for success, because when we can see what's working, we will feel better, they will feel better, they will be more inclined to try something else because they feel like they've done something and it actually worked. But when we keep taking aim so broadly that they just never feel like it's ever, no matter what they do, it's good enough, it's never good enough, it becomes demoralizing and then they start wanting to even try. Does that resonate for people?
Yes.
No, I mean, it's the same thing with us. It's like, you don't do your taxes. You start by, okay, first I'm going to collect all my information, and then I'm, you know, like you do it in pieces. You break it down to make it manageable. And so when we take aim, we want to take aim more specifically, as specifically as possible, so that we can really help them see the successes. So a lot of you have taken aim today on having difficult conversations, for an example, which is great. And in some ways, not specific enough, right? So with each of you, I want to narrow in and say, okay, when having a difficult conversation, when? And so it may be when it's first thing in the morning before the meds have kicked in, or it may be when there's something you're being asked to do that you don't want to do, or it doesn't matter what it is, but the more specific you can get and the more narrow to a time and place, or tendency, the more effective it's going to be. So, you know, we used to have a code word in my house, and we'll come back to code words in a minute, for I'm about to tell you something you're not going to want to hear. Because I had one kid who really, really reacted anytime we said anything that they didn't want to hear. So we finally figured out that it wasn't what we were saying, it was that they didn't want to hear it. And so we were able to sort of tackle that. But it may be that what you need is to be talking at a particular time and place. But what's really important about taking aim, like, you know, when we talk about taking aim, there's a macro and a micro. So there is the big picture of taking aim. We do take aim on, you know, relationships or on logistics or on, you know, organization. We do, it is okay, like at the beginning of this program, we do encourage you to sort of look at one area of those six aspects of the challenges that we face and decide where do you want to sort of, what's your big picture of what you want to see shift this year. It's perfectly reasonable to take aim on the impact that all of this stuff has on you as a parent or your relationship as a couple, right? That is absolutely a legitimate place to, from a macro perspective, to take aim. And it can help you do that to begin to narrow in on more specific things week by week. But then week by week, as we come to these calls, you want to really narrow the field so that you're taking aim on something that feels achievable for them and for you. So I'm going to stop there and just ask what's coming up for people. What are you noticing? What do you think about it? What's easy about it? What's hard about it? Is anybody there?
Do you want an answer?
Yeah.
Do you want an answer?
Yeah. What are you noticing?
Well, you know, what comes up for me is that I'm such a planner. I'm such a big person. I have strong executive functions. I can do all these things, and I want so much to help him, and he just seems to not want any help. I don't want to talk about tomorrow. I don't want to plan anything. I don't want to, you know, it's just so, to me, we're so polar opposite
mm-hmm.
on how we see the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And how we manage the micro. We're just so polar opposite on both of those levels.
Okay. which is a great place to come from, to really understand what the differences are in your approaches. But how does that shift where you're taking aim or influence where you're taking aim?
I have to recognize where he's coming from. I have to see and feel his side of it.
Mm-hmm. What's the value of that?
It's his buy-in. It's his ability to contribute to resolve issue or to build on whatever strength he wants.
Okay. So what has that got to do with taking aim?
Well, for me right this very moment, I mean, there's something very, very specific that I want to take aim on. And so I'm trying to figure out, is that really what I want to take aim on? Or is there something else that's related to it that I want to take aim on?
Okay, so I love that, because what you're pointing to is sometimes what we think we're taking aim on is not actually what we need to be dealing with.
Exactly.
And oftentimes when we take ourselves through the exercise, what we realize is that's not really what the real issue is at all. Right?
Exactly.
Okay. So what are you becoming clear on that may not have been clear a few minutes ago?
It's my agenda when I want something. And
mm-hmm.
I know we've done the whole buy-in and it's worked and it's been successful, but this one particular thing I want to take aim on, I just don't feel like it's going to be successful. And so I have to push my agenda. It's just not going to work if I do that.
Okay. So what you're really saying is the thing you really want to take aim on, you don't think he's ready for it.
Yes, that's exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So then whose problem is that? So what does that lead you to take aim on?
Eileen, I'm not sure.
Okay. So I'm not really sure what you're talking about, but what I think I hear you saying is that there's something that you really want him to buy into that he hasn't. And you're realizing it's not likely to work because he hasn't bought in. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's just a big topic.
Are you willing to share what it is? It's what?
Well, I mean, the big topic is school.
That's huge.
Doesn't seem to care, and that's just too big. And so,
right.
You know, I have broken it down,
I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Let me just interrupt you for a second to stay in the course where we were going, because I think it was instructive for a lot of things. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So you want him to take it. So part of what you know is that you're taking aim on something too big. Right. And you want him to like buy into, I want to be a strong student. And he's a 13-year-old seventh grader. It's not likely that he's ready for that. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So part of that. So that leads you to two options. One is managing your own expectations. And you can actually take aim on managing your feelings, thoughts and expectations around his ownership of school. Right. That's something you actually can do something about. So that's one place to look. Another place to look might be to say, okay, if he's not ready to be what we would say in phase three around this, where is he ready to be in phase two, and what might that look like? How can I begin to foster more buy-in? How can we do this collaboratively? He's not ready to own it. But there's a big difference between ownership and buy-in, right? So it can still be predominantly your agenda that he do well in school because he's not ready to own that completely, but he can buy into the mechanisms or the processes or the agreements or the rewards or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he's not ready to be in for you to be in phase three. Is he ready for you to be in phase two?
I'm just not sure.
What does he want? He wants you to be in phase 3 or 4, right?
What does he want?
Yeah, he wants you to back off and stay out of it and let him just do what he's going to do. Am I right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly.
So he wants you to be in phase 3 or 4, but he is not ready, really, for you to be in that phase.
Right.
So where you may focus on taking aim might be taking aim on getting his buy-in to collaboration with you around a specific, I would narrow in, like one class, one assignment, one aspect of school, not all of school.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, and I thought we were already there. I thought we were collaborating because we have done some of that leading up the past week and a half. So I thought we were there.
Okay.
And now he's like, oof, I'm done.
Okay. So what does that say?
You got
to
go back.
What do you have to take aim on? Right. Got to regroup. Got to start. Got to rinse and repeat. Right?
Yes. Yes.
You got to look at it and say, okay, what worked? What didn't work? What do I want to do differently? And refresh. Because it doesn't just happen. These things, these conversations, these collaborations happen again and again and again and again. I like the notion of a spiral because I don't think it's a straight line forward. It's like we spiral forward. And there's a down and an up and a down and an up, right? We're sort of drilling in or drilling forward a little bit. And so there's an opportunity to sort of pull up, pull back and say, okay, something was working and now it's not. Let's stop and look at it. Is that fair?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. That's the frustration, is it was working.
Right, and now it's not.
Right.
Yeah, and that's
and now it's
classic,
not.
Right? I mean, that's textbook.
Yes.
So let's open up and hear what's coming up for anybody else around this issue of the challenge with taking aim. So what I'm hearing from what Anne was just saying is that sometimes you feel like you've got it and you feel like you're ready to move on, and then you have to go back and do it again, and that's really frustrating for us. What else is coming up around taking aim?
This is Holly. I think that that I have a hard time managing my expectations of both kids and just thinking about what they should be able to do. And here I've laid this all out for you, here step by step, and it's still hard for them because they don't want to do it.
Right, right. So you've laid it out for them, which means it's whose agenda?
Yeah.
Right?
Mine.
And it should be easy, except for they have, like, these brain-based challenges, right?
Yeah.
So if one of the goals, and it might be, is to get them to use whatever process you've put in place, then go back to that notion of where are you in terms of phase two? What incentive, what engagement, what needs to be part of this conversation for them to have the buy-in to collaborate with you? Because you're clear, it's really mostly your agenda, right?
Right, right.
Okay. And that's not an unreasonable place to be, except for that if we're setting the agenda, but we're wanting it to be theirs.
I'm sorry.
They're not ready for you. They're not yet ready for you to be in phase three and let it be their agenda.
Yeah. I feel like that.
Today, right. Go ahead.
Yeah. I feel like the incentive or the whatever the hook to get their buy-in is a moving target, and it's like I think I've got it one day, and the next day I don't, and so that I guess that's where my frustration comes from. Is like we never really know what's going to work.
That's true. Well, and I do want to say on some level, a lot of you have, you know, roughly 12, 13, 14-year-old kids. You're in middle school years where everything is a moving target, You know, all you have to do is say hi and they blow up and explode. Like, that's part of the nature of it. So there is that, that I just want to sort of acknowledge that is the human experience of living with middle schoolers. And you can survive it, I promise. I've survived it 3 times, and I'm here to tell you, you can get through it. But it is hard, you know, because they're erratic and irrational. But beyond that, if we sort of put that aside, right, the other thing that when it's a moving target is that it may be part of where the taking aim is to be taking aim on getting buy-in again or re-establishing the buy-in or confirming the buy-in, right?
Right.
Well, and with Addie, our daughter, she'll never admit she bought into anything. She'd rather be set on fire than tell you she's buying into something.
She'd rather be what?
Set on fire than tell you she's going to buy into whatever idea you've got at the time.
Well, and so part of the buy-in is actually to get her to be part of the idea. Now, it can still be your agenda that she gets started on her homework at 4 o'clock or whatever. But that buy-in is going to come when she has some voice in how that happens. So if we want them to take our agenda and to do it the way we want them to do it, when we want them to do it, we're not giving them space for buy-in, right? I mean, you know, to some extent, some kids who are money motivated, you might be able to do it with, you know, with that kind of external rewards. But for the most part, what a lot of these kids really want is control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what she wants for sure.
And so if you get into a conversation where you're negotiating for her to have more control, there's some incentive for buy-in for her. And that's the place to play with it.
What could that look like?
Go ahead.
Like, what might that look like? Like, just practically speaking, what might that look like or that conversation to get them to have more buy-in?
Give me an example of an agenda.
You from me or is
yeah.
that what you mean? Turning in your assignments on time.
Turning in your assignments or turning them in on time?
Oh God, I want them turned in on time, but the place that feels better to be is the turning them in.
So we take aim on, let's call it taking aim on turning in your assignments. Because if they're not turning them in at all, they're getting zeros. At least if they're turning them in, they may only be losing some points instead of all of them, right?
Well, I think she can turn them in eventually. We've been working on that. But I'd like to have them come in on time so that we're not spending energy going backward.
Okay. That's important to you. What's important to her about it?
Well, yeah, she doesn't care because she can turn them in late and won't lose any points.
Okay. So she can turn it in late and it won't lose any points. So there really is no value to her in doing it at this stage.
Right. I mean, it's a little, I think she's starting to see a little bit that there's a, like, if she can get it done, then there's not the pressure at home. Like, she doesn't have to, there's more space for her at home if she's not trying to make up for all missing assignments.
Okay. So a value to her in getting them in time may be more free time at home.
Right. Or downtime.
Okay. Yeah. Free time, downtime. Right. Okay.
Right.
So there's a value, right? So the place to take aim is getting assignments turned in, right? Then you get curious what's going on. And you have to spend some time figuring out what is preventing her from turning them in on time. Is she doing them? Is she not doing them? or is she not remembering to turn it in? Is there not a structure in the classroom to turn it in, right? Like, so you got to get curious about what's going on. And then the other place around getting curious is sort of that notion of what's in it for her. It's helping her see, her understanding that up until now she doesn't see a reason to, right? Are you with me?
Right.
Is this making sense so far? I just want to make checking in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember them all. Yeah, all the great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So step one is take aim. Step two is get curious. Collect all the information you can about all the different angles of looking at it. She doesn't really care. She doesn't have an incentive to care. The teacher's certainly not holding her accountable, right? But there is this little glimmer of possibility that she, when she gets a turn in on time, she has more space at home, right?
Right.
So then as you move into sort of planning, based on what you learn in your discovery phase, and I don't know whether you're going to find out that it has to do with what time of day that she's not doing it and she just needs a break at the end of the school day, and it may be an activate the brain thing. Like, so you're going to have to do a little bit of this work on your own, right? Because I got to sort of accelerate it for this purpose. But based on what you learn as you get curious, then you move into, okay, so what's the process? What, you know, the positive parenting piece is engaging in conversation, understanding her motivators, setting realistic expectations. She's not ready to be in phase three. She really still needs you to be collaborating with her. So understanding all of that. Then as you go into to address it, you can have a conversation with her that may go something like this. So, and that, this is just rough, okay? I'm not exactly, but you know, I've been thinking about it. I noticed that when you get your homework done by then, or you don't come home with extra homework, you're really having time to play with your friend or play video games or do whatever it is she's doing. Do you see that connection? What do you think about that? So it may just be a conversation. Or it may be a conversation earlier in the day, you know, after school that's, what are you thinking is going on for you this afternoon? I know you've got some makeup work to do, but I know you've really been wanting some downtime. What would it take? Or sort of more general, matter-of-factly having conversations, making the connection for her that she may not have made, or asking her questions so that she can make that connection. Does that resonate, Julie?
Yes. I think that's the other part where I started with the powerful conversations. That's not what we call them, but wanting to take aim there. Like, how do we have these conversations? And so it's helpful to hear you walk through it even.
So the short answer to how do you have these conversations is casually, simply, matter-of-factly. You want to avoid the sit down, we really need to talk conversations, particularly with middle schoolers, because all it does is trigger them. But if you're sort of casually making an observation or asking a question in the car when there's not a we're about to sit down and do homework, or, you know, when you keep it light and give them and ask them a question where they can contemplate something that you're not waiting for an answer for them, then they'll begin to process it a little bit so that you can then come back. You know, I often talk about the bird at the edge of the ocean. You know, there's little birds that kind of step in the water and then they run out, and they step in the water and they run out. And we kind of want to do these conversations with our kids like that. We want to do little, you know, one and two sentences and then leave it. And then come back and then leave it, because that really allows them to process the information and come to their own awareness and conclusions around it, instead of us trying to push our agenda on them, right, or our belief or our... Instead of us telling them what we want them to learn from it, it's asking them questions so that they begin to figure out, and then checking back in and saying, so what do you think? What comes up for you? What, you know, asking questions like, it seems to me that when you get your homework done here, then you get this time there, would you like some help figuring out how to do that? Is that important to you? So asking those questions of asking permission, asking for engagement, so that it feels like you're helping them through their agenda instead of making sure they're accountable to your agenda. And that's the real piece to this phase two collaboration is this, yes, we know you're still holding the agenda, but the goal is to invite them to it and to keep inviting them to the dance so that they can begin to see it as theirs, not just yours. And that means open-ended questions, asking them what they think, asking them, what do you think, what do you think that might work for you, instead of, if you would just do this, right, what part of that do you think would work, what wouldn't work, like really giving them a sense of participation in the process instead of just handing them the decision or the solution. And there's definitely an art. I mean, it takes process, takes time. But if you begin to sort of step out of, they have to do it the way that I want them to do it, because I hear all of you recognizing that what helps them do it is buy-in, then it may be asking them, what would their buy-in be? For one, it might be extra time. For another, it might be a Starbucks gift card. I don't know. But helping them identify what their motivators are is a key to helping them get anything done. Somebody was going to say something.
Yeah, this is Julie. Julie M. Hearing you say that you, just a couple sentences here and there, and the image of the bird on the beach, that is helpful because it feels like you, you're talking to a wall, but if you're talking to a wall and it's only a couple sentences, it's not so painful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it feels shallow.
And it's a good reminder. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's shallow comments go deep with kids. Right?
And so I just appreciate the understanding of a middle schooler, because Logan, you know, my 15-year-old, he was different. It wasn't the interactions we had were just so much different. And so hearing this, it's just helpful to know that we're all normal in our own little
right.
way.
Yeah, we are. You're not going to get it all shifted. It's just little gradual. Just little gradual shifts in inclinations and awareness.
Right.
Right? That's what we're
right.
looking for. Just little
things. And, you know, when I was that age, I probably wouldn't have wanted to talk about anything difficult either. I probably would have shut down too and just said, you know, get out of here. Get out of my way. You're bugging
right.
me. And so I try to remember that. But then it feels like, are we getting through it all? Is she hearing anything we're saying? But probably
little bits. And what I would, and this earlier I said that there were a couple of strategies I wanted to just kind of throw at y'all for this. One is ACE,
yeah.
right, which is acknowledging, look, I know you don't want to talk to me about this, so I'm going to just say two things and then I'm done, I promise, right, or whatever it is. But that acknowledge where they are is real, and it's legit. And it gives you a lot of cred if you acknowledge that it sucks they don't want to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Right? And have compassion for it. When I was your age, I didn't want to talk about it either. I get it. So I just want to ask you one question. Will you please let me ask you one question? That's it. Right? So you're not getting into this long, detailed thing. It's like little bits. So that would be mm-hmm. that's how you might use ACE in this kind of scenario. Okay. There were a couple other things I said to y'all at the beginning.
Design Alliance.
Design. Thank you. There was one more.
And
anybody remember
words.
What it was? Code words. Okay. God, y'all are
code
awesome.
Words.
Okay. So Design Alliance. There's an article on the website called Designing Alliance or something. How to Design Alliance. If you type in Design and Alliance, you'll find it. If you don't, tag me on the forum and I'll find it. The Design Alliance is a really fundamental concept in coaching. And the idea is there's kind of two sections of it. This is what you can count on me for, and this is what I need from you. You always start with the first part, which I call the gift, the offer. This is what I'm giving to you, and then you make an ask, and I need this. So several of you have been talking about kids having sort of reactivity to you know, having difficult conversations. So you might start by saying, here's the deal. I get that you don't want to talk about difficult things, and it's frustrating when it feels like I'm making you wrong. So you can count on me to not see you as wrong when I'm asking you to do something. Or you can count on me to know that you don't like to be interrupted, and that if I'm doing it, I'm doing it because something needs to happen. Or some way of saying, of giving them some recognition at the beginning, what they can count on you for before you ask. And I just would like, when I do ask you to stop what you're doing and do something, I'd just like you to just be nice to me about it. Because I'm not doing it to be an ogre, and I know you're not being reactive to be mean. I would really like it. I'm willing to make sure I don't interrupt you when you're in the middle of something, and I would really like it if you'd be willing to try a little to not be so snarky. Is that a fair deal? Simple. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be a 20-minute conversation, right? But the Design Alliance is, first you make an offer. I used to use it with my son all the time around taking out the garbage. The bane of our existence around here, right? It's like, you can count on me to remind you that garbage needs to go out Monday night. And when I do, I just want you, if I feel like it's late, I just want you to agree not to wait till Tuesday morning. Is that a fair deal? And that if it's 11 o'clock when I remember to remind you, you'll still go do it because we can't wait till Tuesday morning. It messes up the mornings. Is that fair?
Where we struggle when we ask them to be accountable, then it's Friday, it's Monday night, and we've asked them to take out the trash. It's 11 p.m., and they still don't want to do it. And what then?
So what then is
just refer back to the conversation?
You're back to Ace, right? I totally get you don't want to do it. I don't blame you. I am so sorry, but you know we had a deal.
Okay.
Right, and I'm really sorry, and next week I'll try to remember earlier and, you know, tell me how, let's talk through later, but right now, it's just got to get out. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
But if you stand there with your hands on your hips, because they should have done it by now, you lose the relationship. But if you let the system be the bad guy, I'm so sorry. You get to be compassionate and on their team.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the other one I just wanted to throw out was this notion of code words. All of you are having problems with kids reacting because of something, right? Like, and as I mentioned, we had this code word with a bubble gum, which was, I'm about to tell you something you don't want to hear. And so not in the heat of the moment, but you can have a conversation that says, you know, sometimes I have to tell you things, or I have to tell you no, or I have to say something that you don't want to hear. And it's really hard for you to hear. I get that. It's also really hard for me. So what do you think about maybe coming up with a code word where I sort of give you a notice that it's coming so that we can all take a deep breath before we have the conversation? What do you think? The other one we used to use with that was incoming. You know, incoming! And so when we said incoming, they would, like, take a deep breath. And now it's like, okay, you're not going to like this, but here's the deal. And that's just part of being human, is we all have to hear things sometimes we don't like. So you can teach them how to be with that by modeling it in that way. Does that resonate for people?
Yes.
Yes.
But notice a lot of what I'm saying in these conversations is checking in with them after you design or you acknowledge or whatever. It's like, does that seem fair to you? What do you think about that? Are you willing to give it a try? Right? So all of those are language around permission and checking in with them so that it reverts the control back to them, gives them some sense of control in the conversation. Does that seem fair to you is a great question for kids, because it's really hard to argue fair. Kids really love fairness. So, and are you willing to try? I know it's not what you want. Trust me, I don't like to remind you. And are you willing to can we try something? So little conversations, setting it up in advance, and then checking in with each little phase can go a long way to getting there buy-in, because a lot of what we're talking about really is getting clear on what the places you're taking aim, but then also a lot of this is really about getting authentic buy-in instead of just the words of buy-in. So what do y'all think? Because as we're gonna close the call, but go into the final four. But I want to give y'all a chance in this final four to really process, to say, like, what really are you taking away? What do you feel like we were talking about? What are you taking away from this conversation? And is there a commitment to action that you want to take? And of course, if so, how do you want to be successful with it? But what do you feel like? What's really crystallizing for you in this conversation?
If y'all don't mind, I'll jump in here.
Go for it.
I think what stands out to me is the idea of putting the system to blame and preserving the relationship. I like that idea. Mm-hmm. It's not really me, and I get where you're coming from, but this is the deal. And I don't really have control over revoking the deal, but I feel that you have emotions invested in it, and I'm going to legitimize those and sympathize with them. But I like the idea of kind of making it a neutral, impersonal system that's driving this and can be blamed when we need it to.
Right, which lets you, as you say, lean into the relationship. It lets you to be on their team.
Right? Right, right.
Yeah. Cool, thanks, Brent. Who else?
This is Anne. So one of the things I've written down here for the language to say to my son, I'm not one of these that, you know, gets upset and says, I'm taking away your computer. If his computer gets taken away, there's nothing going on. And so I'm trying to figure out how we can have that conversation. He can get his computer back. And so the language that's coming up for me, I want you to have your social time on your computer. I want you to have your creative time on your computer.
Yes.
What can we do? What can we agree to on XYZ that you can have that time and we both get what we want? Is that kind of the language?
Yep, you're right on track. You're right on track. This is what I want for you. I'm on your team. Let's talk about what's fair, what's reasonable, what would make sense for you to get what you want.
Okay.
Because this is the shift, is we're focusing on helping them get what they want instead of what we want.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and they're not idiots. They can tell if you start masking it, by the way. They'll figure it out real quick if you're pretending to let it be their agenda, but it's really still yours.
Yeah.
So you really have to authentically want for your kids. Want for them to be able to want for things for themselves and help them figure out how do they get what they want. Who else?
This is Julie. So I'm thinking about with my daughter's late papers, just kind of the discussion around it seems like multi-tiered and faceted, and like that's much more than the birds dipping in and dipping out, you know? And it's like, because there's all these things to explore potentially. But but right now, I don't know that we have that, a ton of that relationship or focus to like be able to stay in it
later
that long. So I'm thinking, just with what you were saying before, or just like, you know, I know you are working so hard to try and get your work done and in. So acknowledging that, and I want to support you in doing that. And I noticed there are a couple of missing assignments. So
No. Before you get to the missing assignments, stick with the value to her. What's in it for you? Right? I've noticed you're working hard. What's important to you about it? Like, how's it going to help you to do that? Help her see the value to her before you go to solution. Okay?
So wait. What does that sound? That's like, I know you've been working so hard on all your homework and assignments.
It seems
really
like you're working really hard. What's different for you? Or how's it going for you? Ask some questions, get curious with her, and give her a chance to tell you what's going on. Kids will want to hear an acknowledgement of, it looks like you're working really hard on something, how's it going? That's like gold dust.
But that doesn't address the missing assignment necessarily. She'll be like, great.
You might not get
the
missing assignment. You may not get to that conversation until the next day. You have to be willing to let these conversations happen in a little bit so that you can stay connected. Right? So what's going on for you? How's it going? Oh, it's good. So what's working for you? What do you feel like's been good? And it may be a day later or two before you come back and say, you know, I noticed that on the days when you have all this extra work that you're more stressed because you're not getting your time at home. Would you like to be able, you know, like you can come back to it. It does not all have to happen at once. That's why it is these little bits of the bird of the water, because you want to do just a little bit and then run away. And then a little bit, and then run away. And part of what's happening, Julie, I think, is you're trying to do it all at once,
which
is a very sophisticated concept that they're probably not ready for all of it at once.
Right. I feel like it's on fire, but I have to manage that because it's
exactly
not.
That's
it's,
your issue, right?
It's okay. Yeah.
Exactly. These kids are—they're all. None of them were on fire. Nothing y'all have said today has got anybody on fire, right? I mean, Brent and Holly want the kids to get the clothes off the floor. Well, what's in it for her? Is it that if you get the clothes off the floor, we'll do your laundry for you? Or is it, you know, like, why would she care? If it's just because I said so, that is just not enough incentive for a 13-year-old kid. You know? Who else? Who else has got some sort of closing thoughts, ahas, takeaways?
This is Julie. I was just thinking, my mind's all over the place, but one thing in specifically is getting curious about the homework and the conversations. Maybe there's another location that is
for time.
That feels safe because she went into the bathroom last night or the night before, and she just wanted to hang out in there because it was quiet and there was I'm like, the bathroom? Okay, well, maybe there's another place, you know, where I can sit comfortably too and we can have a conversation. Maybe we put some chairs outside or something.
Absolutely. I love that. And you know, and for you, remember, you've got a daughter who's an introvert.
Right.
Right. You've
just,
you know, so those dark spaces are really nice. But I have had conversations with my kids on the floor more than anywhere.
Yeah.
Sitting on the floor in the kitchen, leaning against the stove, more than anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it probably seems weird to some people, but I just think that's probably part of it. It's just location, physical space. So.
Yeah. And a lot of you were talking about kids with a short fuse. And so when they lose it, you might come back to them later. And instead of dealing with the issue at all, just say, seems like that was really upsetting to you. And I'm trying not, you know, I don't want to upset you. Can you tell me what I might do differently?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did I do that got you so set off? And how can I change? Or is there something you want to talk about or whatever it is? But understand that that's normal for them and help them see, I know that you're a hormonal middle schooler and you're going to blow up sometimes. That's normal. Mm-hmm. You know, like help them see that because they think they're crazy. All of them think they're crazy. Because it feels crazy inside those brains. So normalize it for them too. So did we get everybody? Anybody else have a sort of closing thought or takeaway? Aha. Okay.
I felt good about the conversation.
Good. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'm glad to hear it.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Right. So just remember, everybody, y'all are dealing with, I think we talked about this last time, a middle school kid is like trying to negotiate with a drunk on the Bowery. you know, their brains are on hormones, and you just have to remember that their brains are on hormones. So, you know, don't take it personally, and help them remember that when they feel out of control, that there actually is a reason for it, and that they're not crazy, and it's normal, and let's come up with another way to work with each other on it. You know, how can they let you know when they are getting triggered, for example, or whatever it is. One of the code words we had in my house growing up for my middle kid only was don't poke the bear, because we knew when she was in those years, the rule for everybody else in the family was, leave her alone, don't poke the bear right now, because we're a very teasing family. But in those middle school years, that kid could not be teased.
Yep. You know, we're dealing with that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't poke the bear. All right, everybody.
All right,
you
I'm
going to
get going. Thanks, you guys.
Peace by peace.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Y'all. Bye-bye.